Yeah, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Friday edition of Before You Bet, Aaron, live right now on the covers, YouTube and Actionals. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that like and subscribe button right down there. So a great big show planned for you guys today. It is the Mega Football Friday edition of the show. We're about to hit the stretch run here in college football. Brad Powers will be by in a matter of seconds to get into the best games of the week. A couple of best bets from him there as well. Then we have an avalanche of picks for the NFL on Sunday. Jingles and I, 9 total, I think it is. And then John Mettler will be here in the final segment of the show to get into our best bets for the NBA. So I had been red hot, 10-1 going into yesterday. We hit a pretty serious wall, though, yesterday. Went 1-4 in the NFL and the NBA. John Mettler and I have talked about this before. My picks were 0-4 going down to the wire here. I just needed the Bengals to cover, not to get reverse swept. Of course, that game goes right down to it. They ended up covering, so I did not get reverse swept. I always feel so good that last one when it goes right down to it, because 0-5, that would have absolutely sucked. 1-4 sucks, but we will look to bounce back. We will look to get that back here tonight and over the course of the weekend. Okay, if you guys want to participate in the show today, very easy to do. Hit up the live chat on YouTube, on X. What do you like in college football? What do you like in the NFL? What do you like in the NBA? Let us know. We will read a few off throughout the course of the show. Okay, let's get right into the action. Let's get into the college football action. We go down to sunny Las Vegas. Our guy, Brad Powers. Brad, how are we making out?
Doing well. Looking forward to this.
Indeed. Okay, so Brad was on Monday's show. He gave out a couple of best bets. Then if you miss it, he gave out South Florida +3.5. That line is holding steady. And he gave out North Texas +6. That's down to +4 in their game against Army. If you want to catch that analysis, you can go back to Monday's show and check that out. So before we get into some analysis and breakdowns here, Brad, we got to get your opinion on this before it shakes up over the weekend. The initial college football playoff rankings came out. What, if anything, would you change?
Well, I mean, obviously, if we're comparing it to a Vegas power rating, I change a lot. But, you know, for example, like a Washington State was like 21st. They're not even in my top 50. So, you know, stuff like that, obviously, like Miami at 4. I mean, I got them 10th. So there's big discrepancies as far as that's concerned. I think there's two big takeaways, though. Boise's already at 12, and I don't think they're just throwing them a crumb there. To make the playoff look good, like, you know, they're just giving the group of five team, you know, that automatic 12th spot. Obviously, they get an automatic berth, but you don't have to rank a team 12th. There's going to be a lot of years where maybe the group of five team's not in the top 20. But the reason I'm bringing it up is I think there's a pretty likely scenario that Boise could steal the number 4 seed and upseed one of either the Big 12 champ or the ACC champ, particularly if the Big 12 or ACC champ has 2 losses. So keep an eye on that Boise could grab the 4 seed. And then also, I mean, SEC and Big 10 are going to dominate this year's playoff. Minimum 7 teams out of the 12. I think 8's most likely. And don't rule out 9 of the 12, especially if Notre Dame were to get upset in one of their final 4 games.
Okay, possibility of some shakeups here this weekend. We have some games of consequence going down on Saturday. No big stakes in these games here tonight. We have 4 games, you know, no real marquee teams or anything. A lot of teams with losing records, but often in these games, we will find some good betting opportunities. So out of the 4 games on the board here tonight, does anything stand out to you?
Yeah, I like UCLA +6.5 tonight. I made that bet, and for a variety of reasons. Number one, I must say that Iowa has looked better as of late with Sullivan at quarterback. But I think that the overarching point of this game is UCLA. The market threw them in the trash because they almost lost to Hawaii. Well, I mean, that was the first game for a young coach on the islands, tough place to play. And then they got killed by Indiana, and we just said, UCLA stinks. They might only win 1 or 2 games this year. Well, guess what? Indiana's been killing everybody, so that's not that bad. Then they go on the road, covered at LSU. They cover against Oregon. They cover against Penn State. Those are 3 top 15 teams. And their last 2 performances, UCLA, they go on the road across the country, win outright at Rutgers as an underdog. They go halfway across the country to Nebraska, beat Nebraska outright as an underdog. This is a pretty good football team if we're looking at recency bias. Shouldn't be catching 6.5 at home against Iowa.
Okay, so that's tonight. tomorrow, some mega games, and let's start with the main event. I guess you could call it tomorrow night in prime time. And this one falls into your best bet category. Playoff eliminator, Alabama, LSU, spread of 3 points here, total on the high end, 58.5. Bama beat LSU by 14 last season, much different teams this year, obviously. And one of your best bets, what is it?
LSU plus three, we're going to go with here. And typically, I don't like the big games as far as best bets, but let's start with the power rating. I made it 1.5. We're off a key number of three in a big game that should have high liquidity. So the trust factor here is more with LSU just because it's year three under Brian Kelly. Probably needs it a little bit more than year one Alabama under Kalen DeBoer. LSU at night, Baton Rouge, is a top two home atmosphere, right along with the whiteout at Penn State. I'm not sure that gets overly priced into the marketplace as far as that's concerned. And then I don't trust Alabama on the road to last. Forget just this year with DeBoer. It's the last few years, even back to Saban. They don't do little things. They miss field goals. They're outside the top 100 in penalties, and they have ill-timed turnovers. So LSU plus three for me.
Okay, let's go to the earlier games here. A pretty big one, Ole Miss hosting Georgia. Georgia favorite by 2.5 here, total of 55.5. Georgia's not been a good spread bet, 1-6 ATS in their last seven. Ole Miss trying to make a push here for the playoff. What do you make of this game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Ole Miss is out with a loss. I'm going to lean Ole Miss. There's not a high trust factor with either team, though. Let's start with Georgia. I mean, if you told me I was getting the Georgia against Texas or the Georgia in the second half against Alabama or the Georgia in the second half against Clemson, then Georgia seems cheap. But, I mean, you look at Georgia in the majority of the season, that being including even last week when they're trailing at halftime to Florida, only beating Mississippi State by 10. And more importantly, Carson Beck, their quarterback, the last five games, 10 touchdown passes, 11 interceptions. I can't trust them right now on the road. Ole Miss, to me, statistically, if we just took away the names and looked at both of these teams' statistical profile, Ole Miss is the better team at home, catching 2.5. Even though I don't love Lane Kiffin in a big game, I lean with the Rebs here.
Okay, Deion Sanders and the Buffs, they're trying to make a push here for the playoff, Brad. A plus 200 to get in. Who knows? Maybe they can run the table. They'll have to start with a good performance here versus Texas Tech. They're favored by 4.5, total on the high end, 62.5. Six straight covers for Buffalo. Texas Tech coming off that upset win over Iowa State. Do you think Colorado can keep rolling?
Yeah, I do. The further I dive into this handicap. Now, I originally thought Texas Tech was going to be the side here because I thought Colorado would be pricey, but Texas Tech is really injured on the defense side of the ball. So let's go ahead and go to the derivative market and take advantage of that. We're going to go Colorado team total over 33.5. Should be fresh off a bye. Travis Hunter getting that extra rest. I don't trust that Texas Tech defense to be able to stop the athletes in space as far as the Colorado passing game. So Colorado team total over 33.5.
Okay, Brad, before we get into something fun here for the end, we have two more best bets to add to your card for the weekend. So you just gave us LSU plus three. Next up, let's take a look at Duke NC State. You like the over of 51.5.
I do for a couple of reasons. Number one, NC State lost their starting quarterback for the season, Grayson McCall. You thought major downgrade. It's kind of been the opposite. Their true freshman quarterback, CJ Bailey, his last four games has 300-yard passing performances. And the game that he didn't, they put 59 points on the board against Stanford. So that offense is actually trending up without their starting quarterback. And the other offense, Duke, is running a lot of tempo. And they're also trending up as their quarterback gets more experience than Malik Murphy. So we've got two dynamic athletes at quarterback. And the passing game's improved for both. So, I mean, full season, statistical, yeah, there was a lot of low-scoring games for either one. It's November. I'm more towards what have you done for me lately.
Okay, next up, let's go under the radar. You're going to take San Jose State, the small underdog. You like them to cover the three-point spread.
Yeah, it's more of a play against a really bad Oregon State team that you had thought once they hit Mountain West play that they would play better against bad competition. It's been the opposite. Lose to Nevada outright as a favorite. Get dominated by UNLV. Even in their last game, they went out and played Cal and lost by 40 points in that game. So I think matchup-wise, I don't trust Oregon State's pass defense to get any pass rush against this high-powered San Jose State passing attack. I think San Jose State has confidence. They went on the road to Washington State earlier this year. Should have won the game. They lost in double overtime. I'm here to tell you, Washington State's a lot better than Oregon State.
Okay, something fun for the end here, Brad. We've been doing these every Friday appearance with you. So we're going to combine two of your favorite things for this one. Of course, football and film. So there's a ton of good football movies out there. What are your favorite three football movies of all time? And we'll invite the people in the live chat to throw their suggestions in there as well.
Remember the Titans for me. I love the soundtrack, love the storyline, love the messaging, love Denzel Washington as an actor. So that's number one. Number two for me shouldn't be a surprise, Rudy. Quick story. I was at the game that they filmed the final scene where he sacks the quarterback and they carry him off the field. I was at it. It was during the halftime of the 1992 Notre Dame-Boston College game.
Wow.
They had us. They literally had, you know how the cheerleaders had like signs to do chants? They had Rudy printed on the signs and we had to chant Rudy at the halftime. It was like a half hour. Like, you know, halftime is normally like 20 minutes. It was like 40-minute halftime so they could film that. So Rudy for me. And then Longest Yard, which a lot of not the newest one, the comedy with Sandler, but the old one that was a little bit more dramatic. I like that one from the 70s. Bonus for me. I mean, I do like The Waterboy. It's one of my favorite comedies. So,
yeah, people are throwing that one in there. The Waterboy, Any Given Sunday. What a cast in that movie. That's a fantastic one. Little Giants. I don't remember that very well. I'll have to rewatch that with the kids. Maybe Friday Night Lights, a good movie. Where do you stand on this question? What's better, Friday Night Lights, the movie or TV series?
Oh, wow. I haven't seen enough of the TV series. I'm going to cop out and say the book.
Okay, the book. Okay, yeah, the book. Well, it's all based off of the book, right? What do I have on my
list? I do like Necessary Roughness.
That's good. What about the movie The Program? Do you remember that one, Brad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, at that time, that represented a lot of college football at the time.
Absolutely, that one's good. Yeah, a lot of good suggestions in here. Football, it seems like the easiest sport to make movies. There's not a whole lot of bad football movies out there. The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler, I like that one. I think that the cast in that's amazing. They got a bunch of former professional wrestlers and former football players there. So. Yeah, I think we're due for a good football movie. It seems like a little while since we've seen it.
Yeah, I think we are too, but aren't we due for, you know, good movies in general? It's been a pretty bad decade as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's all action hero sequels coming out. Yeah, I don't get out to the movies much these days myself. Okay, someone threw Draft Day in there. Yeah, that's good for a joke. I think, you know, if you're a casual football fan, you might enjoy that one. But
Brian Thug's sad. I see why that's in there.
Yeah, Brian Song for sure. Yeah, a lot of good suggestions. There's so many good football movies there. Okay, Brad, that's it for your appearance today. You're going to be right back with us. So on Monday, we're going to get into some early best bets, hopefully celebrating some winners here over the weekend. We'll recap all the craziness from what should be an insane weekend of college football. Thanks for joining, Brad. We'll catch you again on Monday.
All right, thanks for having me. Take care, guys.
Yes, sir. All right, from the college game to the pro game. Let's go to our guy. Is he there? I wasn't sure if you were there or not, but the sexiest smile in all of sports betting, our guy, Jingles. Jingles, I'm not going to ask you for three. I'm going to ask you for one. What's your favorite football movie of all time?
Did I not see Varsity Blues anywhere in that chat?
It did not come up yet.
Oh, God, that's disappointing. That's like the epitome of what, like, those late 90s, early 2000s movies were. I watched it a lot well. Getting sacked and getting a ton of concussions playing high school football.
Yeah, a good combination of teen comedy, football. That was a good one. Desert Dog Media, another story. I was at Columbus, South Carolina in 1992 when The Program was filmed at halftime.
That's my other favorite one by far, James.
Yeah, Cameron. I got to watch that. I haven't seen that movie in like 20 years. That was fantastic. Okay, Jingles, we got a bunch of picks to get into. But first, my thoughts on the Thursday night football game. It looked like the Bengals were going to cruise to a win. And you can blame the referees all you want, but I blame them for being in that
situation.
They had
100 penalties. They got 100 penalties on that last drive, right? Like every play on one of their last drives was a penalty, 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 Baltimore.
Yeah, and they were up by 14 points in the second half, just like when these teams played in week 5. They were up by 10 points in the fourth quarter multiple times. So they blew it. Their defense absolutely melted, let them down. So that's the thing, though, with the AFC, they're still not out of it. If you look at the teams they're going to be competing with for that seventh seed, you know, you want to go with the Colts. You think the Jets are going to get back into it? I don't know about that.
Cincinnati would have been 500. That would have been like they would have been a half game back of Baltimore in that spot out of nowhere if they had it. And I think, I don't know if you had this conversation yet, but going for it for sure is the right call on the road to beat Baltimore, I think.
I agree. Their defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. And Baltimore had two timeouts left. They were going to get the ball back, and they were going to have the opportunity to go down the field. So, yeah, I don't disagree with that. Too many people these days. If the coach goes for it and they get it in.
Oh, the other way. Yeah, he's great.
A genius risk taker. If they miss, he is a fucking moron and he deserves to get fired, right? So, yeah, that was absolutely the right call. It comes down to personnel, too. In these situations, like if you have Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, yes, you should be going for it on fourth and short. If you have Bo Nix, Jacoby Brissett, one of these guys, you probably shouldn't be going for it. The Jaguars and Mac Jones playing for them this weekend, they shouldn't be going for it on fourth and short, right? It comes down to personnel too.
I think the sneaky play, I think it's the Philadelphia play. I don't know if you can get the defense to bite, but you run the offense out there. And you try to get them to jump so you can get that extra of what, yard and a half. So it's a big difference. And now you bring the run game in to win the game in that spot. And if they don't jump, then you kick and you tie and you go on. But it was a tough spot. I've never seen in a primetime game that many long completions, obviously for touchdowns, in a fourth quarter. Like it was just back and forth. And I was big on I was waiting for Drew Sample to make some plays, but it was apparently Hudson who was coming in as tight end too and making some plays. Like you were back in Gesicki too. You're like, what is happening with Hudson? Why is he getting so much love, I'm sure?
Well, whenever you see the big white tight end making the catch, you're like, all right, Gesicki, they're going to him. Nope, it's this Hudson guy every single time. So I think Gesicki finished with around 30 yards in that one or whatever. But
and Zay Flowers sold me. Trey Walsh out there taking up, gobbling up all the long yards. Like, come on.
Yeah, so the Bengals are fun, but they're not a serious football team. They might get into the playoffs. They'll probably be one and done. People get sucked in by the Joe Burrow. Too? What's that?
Can we say that about Baltimore, too, in that defense?
Oh, their defense absolutely stinks, too. I think that they'd get beat by Buffalo. The Chiefs, of course, as well. And we know Lamar's history in the playoffs. You know, we've kind of seen this movie before where they have these incredible regular seasons. Who knows? Maybe they would be different with Derrick Henry this year. He's a different running back, that is for sure. Okay, let's get into these picks here. We have 9 total. Let's rip right through them. I will get us started. And we're going to start it with an all Pennsylvania teaser. We're going to be pairing the Steelers and the Eagles on a 6-point teaser, taking the Steelers up to +9. And the Eagles down to -1. The number one rule of teasers, you want to cross key numbers, specifically that 3 and that 7. That's exactly what we're doing here. Steelers are 7-0 straight up in the last 7 seasons after their bye. That's the situation they're in this one. And they do keep things tight in losses. They've only lost twice this season. Both of those losses coming by 3 points. I do expect a low scoring game. A blowout by either team is unlikely. Commanders are good. No doubt about it, but they primarily have been beating up on bad competition. The Steelers are a good football team, especially on the defensive end. More on that in a little bit. Eagles and Cowboys, these teams are just going in wildly different directions right now. It looks like the Eagles have turned a little bit of a page here. Meanwhile, the Cowboys are just crumbling, falling apart. You look at Dallas at home. Their last 4 home games, they've allowed 47 points, 28 points, 44 points, and 48 points. Ooh. They're dead last in yards allowed per pass attempt. Guess who's first in this category offensively over the last 3 games? It is the Philadelphia Eagles. Dallas also dead last in red zone defense. So at the very least, the Eagles might destroy them. But at the very least, taking them down to -1 on a teaser looks like a beautiful spot. I also cannot fault you if you want to tease the Kansas City Chiefs, Dan, inside of 3 points this week. That looks like a pretty good spot against the Broncos. Okay, let's go touchdown score. Drake May. Break this
Drake
one down.
May. Producer Mick, all excited about the Drake May anytime touchdown, which is way too high right now at +400. This should be like Bo Nix territory, somewhere around +190, and it's not. second highest scramble rate percentage in football. He doesn't need designed runs. Gerard Mayo came out and say he's not going to give him designed runs because of the concussion. Well, guess what? He doesn't need them. He is running and scrambling at like a 14% clip, which is only lower than Jaden Daniels. He has 197 rushing yards through his four starts. That puts him, career-wise, on guys like Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson in terms of what they did over their first four games. I don't think we're realizing what his rushing ability is, and he might be the most athletic person on this offense. Ramondre Stevenson can't run the ball since returning from that foot injury, 2.2 yards per carry. And the O-line, with five guys on the IR out, continues to break down, creating these scramble opportunities. Plus 400 is a big price, and I think this should be priced much closer to about plus 190.
Okay, I alluded to this one a little bit in my teaser pick that how good the Steelers' defense is, and that's a big reason why I'm going to take the under in their game versus the Commanders in Washington with the number at 45. So Pittsburgh, what have they done this season? They've held 6 of 8 opponents to 18 points or less. Only one team has scored more than 20 against them this season. The Commanders' defense, they're coming around here a little bit. They've been lights out at home, allowing just 13.3 points per game. And a lot of different stats, a lot of different strengths are aligning for these teams. I do not expect a lot of success in the red zone. These offenses, 26th and 30th in the red zone. Meanwhile, Pittsburgh's defense, number one in the NFL and red zone defense. And both of these teams, Jingles, are clock suckers. Allow me to explain. They rank number one and number two in rushing play percentage. So what does that mean? It means we're going to get a lot of long drives potentially. And if we do, that clock is going to be moving because these teams love to suck the clock. Under 45 points for this one. Tyrone Tracy, what are we looking at?
We're looking at some Sunday morning football where it could just be a ton of running between guys like Tyrone Tracy and Chuba Hubbard on the other side. This is to steal words out of your mouth, Joe, and not clock sucker. This is the don't overthink it bet of the week in terms of props. You just take the team that's facing the Panthers. It sometimes sounds easy, but Tyrone Tracy, I don't think, is being priced for what he is. It's a big number, yes, but this is a guy who's going to see maybe 20 touches, maybe 20 carries again. He's just 2 weeks away, 2 weeks removed from 20 carries and 145 yards. Carolina allows the most rush yards, the most rushing attempts, the most rushing TDs to opposing running backs. They allow 1.4 rushing TDs per game to opposing running backs. He's plus 105 for a TD. Absolutely love that too. And since Devin Singletary's come back, he's just dominated it. And it's been, what, the converted wide receiver to running back. He's another week removed from the concussion. And he's taken 73% of the running back opportunities and 79% of the rushing yard share at 5.6 yards. So if you're expecting passing, don't expect it on Sunday morning in Germany, because if you watched the Giants last week, it's so bad. They do not want to pass the ball if they don't have to. They ran the ball last week. What's the rate? They ran the ball 23 times in the first half versus Washington and passed 6 times. And that was the game that Daniel Jones passed for 0 yards in the first half.
Okay, my don't overthink it bet of the week comes from the game in Tampa Bay with the San Francisco 49ers in town. Christian McCaffrey back in the lineup. I'm going to take the over in this game with the total sitting there at 50 points. Tampa Bay's offense, not really missing a beat. Pretty good performance without Evans and Godwin against a really good defense in Kansas City there on Monday Night Football. These teams are a combined 12-5 to the over this season. 6-game over tear for Tampa Bay. Average combined score of 62.6 in these games. They're not just going over. They are going over by a lot. Both of these teams are great at moving the football. 2nd and 6 in yards per play. Tampa Bay is 27th in that category defensively. Elite third down offense, 2nd and 6. Bad third down defense, 23rd and 25th. And both defenses are not good in the red zone, each in the bottom third of the league in red zone defense for the season. And they've gotten worse over their past couple of games. I think a lot of people assume the 49ers have this great defense. They do not. Yeah. I love the over 50 in this game. Baker Mayfield and that offensive coordinator, what's his name, Cohen? That guy's doing a fantastic job this season for the Bucs, so hopefully they can keep that up here on Sunday. Okay, Jingles, I was surprised to see you submit a couple of these picks.
A couple of sides,
rare full game spread bet.
I know. Which one are we starting?
Let's go. The Atlanta Falcons. And I agree with this one, by the way.
Yeah, I know most of this is priced in, but like I think it's really difficult to price in all of the injuries to this New Orleans offense. Sure, there's a coach bump, but it's still the same offensive coordinator in Clint Kubiak. But they're going to be out wide receiver one, wide receiver two, wide receiver three, maybe wide receiver four, running back two, running back three. That's insane. That's why I'm hitting Taysom Hill for a touchdown on Sunday too at plus 190 because they have to use him. There's just so many bodies missing on this offense, and I don't think a change in face within that locker room is going to turn it into a better offense. It's just not in the spot. I mean, Olave's doubtful. Shahid's out. Means is out. Cedric Wilson now is DNP, and so it could be Tipton, MVS, and Jermaine Jackson as the healthy receivers there. Jamal Williams questionable again, and then you go on the defense. Lattimore's gone. Kool-Aid McKinstry was DNP. Three more DBs on IR, and quarterback Peyton is questionable. London's limited, but at the end of the day, Atlanta can get past the Drake London injury. And this is a team that's really good with the lead because they can lean on Tyler Allgeier, too, to run that ball. I think Atlanta runs away. Indoor game. Kirk Cousins been great. Just too much to overcome injury-wise for New Orleans.
Let's go, Falcons, baby.
And Derek Carr is still the QB. Yeah.
Okay, I bet I have been making a lot on the show here this season. I'm going right back to the well on an under in a Chargers game. They're taking on the Titans. Total is 39 points, and I think this is a marriage made in under heaven. LA is 7-1 to the under, and these games aren't just going under. They're going under by a lot, an average combined score of 32.5 in them. Each defense is hard to move the ball against and great on third down. Maybe it's flying under the radar. Titans pretty good on the defensive side of the ball this season, each in the top six in yards per play allowed and third down defense. The Titans offense, though, they're having a lot of issues. 27th in scoring. They're awful on third down. They are awful in the red zone. They have zero big play ability whatsoever. So I'll happily and comfortably take the under 39 in that one. Jingles, next up, another full game spread bet.
Oh, look at me.
Some meat and potato stuff. I love it. Let's go. You like the Bills.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same spot. 3.5. There's some fours out there now. It's starting to move that way. And road favorite here by more than a field goal in an indoor game. And a lot of it has to do with Joe Flacco is certainly not the answer for this Indy offense, who Michael Pittman's working through an injury right now. He might not play. Josh Downs is obviously the big name there, but he could be easily covered with not a lot of other depth within this receiver core for the Colts. This is a lot more of like not liking the Colts, and their defense has been on the field for so much over the last 2 weeks, more than 72 minutes versus 47 for the offense. We saw Buffalo. Buffalo's kind of in that same vein of Kansas City. We haven't really seen the best of them, I don't think. They were okay in that game versus Miami. Allen, still 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. He had a rushing touchdown called back. And now we get the better quarterback indoors, which is always better. Allen's numbers are insane. Indoors, 70% completion percentage, plus 15 points QB rating. Could get Amari Cooper back. The Buffalo defense is healthy. Could be, like, if Buffalo wins by 21 points, would you be super surprised in this spot if Joe Flacco fell on his face?
I would not. I took the under in this game. Didn't make my cut for my top 5 picks that I give out on this show. Maybe it'll be a Twitter play. But yeah, I took the under 47.5 in this one. And it's kind of based on like last week when I took the under in the Browns game. People love to root for Jameis Winston and he has this big game. It's like, oh my God, what an upgrade over Deshaun Watson. Well, guys, Winston is a backup for a reason. And Joe Flacco, he's a fun guy to root for. Joe Flacco's elite, that whole thing, right? But he's been a backup for a reason over the past couple seasons, right? So when he did not look good in the game last week, Sunday Night Football there against the Vikings. So, yeah, I like the under in that one. And the Bills in a great spot where they can't take their foot off the gas because their schedule is about to get a lot harder.
KC next week, right? Like, that's a big – that does worry me that it's a look-ahead game. But I just think I think it's a big Allen game here indoors too.
Okay, next up, let's go to Sunday Night Football. Good-looking game here. The Lions, an absolute buzzsaw in Houston taking on the Texans. I'm going to go under the total of 48.5 points. So check out this trend here for Houston. They've gone under in 17 of their last 23 regular season games. This is a pretty high total for a Texans game. And the under is 9-2 in their last 11 games with a total of 45 or more. Check out the Lions defense on the road. They've had some real standout performances here. They've held three of their four opponents on the road to 14 points or less. A lot of red flags here for Houston's offense. Obviously, their offensive line is allowing the most pressure in the NFL. CJ Stroud was sacked 8 times last time out. They've been bad on third down and in the red zone. Their defense, still pretty good, though, especially on their home field. They're fourth in yards per play allowed on the season. Maybe a bit of a come down situation. I don't know if you call it a letdown spot for the Lions offense. Potentially, can they keep rolling like they have been rolling? They're playing a tough defense. So yeah, the Lions very well might have a good game offensively. I just don't think that the Texans will. So I'll take under 48.5 in that one. And Jingles, that wraps up the NFL section of the show today. But what else do you have out there that Before You Bet viewers can check out?
Oh, lots of hockey plays today. We're stacking stuff. We got mine and Carlos show is out at 10. Whole card out for that. TD cards out. Taysom Hill made the cut. We got Tyrone Tracy made the cut. And obviously Drake May all made the cut for the TD card this week. I think you just enjoy a smaller slate this week. Been overdoing it with late ads. I think been doing well in the ice. I hate getting rid of stuff. So a little slower. That's why you see the move over to some sides. Been doing well with the sides personally. So let's leave it at that. Nothing wild this week. And then we're back here for Monday night. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. All right, buddy. Best of luck with your bets all weekend. We'll catch you again here on Monday.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Take care, guys.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Okay, let us move to the NBA where I am looking to bounce back here. 0-2 yesterday. Wasn't really close on either of those ones, but we bring in our guy, my fellow sweet boy. Hopefully we can return to our winning ways. Johnny, how we doing?
Good. You know, he says nothing crazy. I'm just going to take some sides. You just know Sunday morning, Jingles will tweet out 60-1 first touchdown score. Some random guy who's going to be starting. You just, that's just so on brand for him. It'll be funny.
Man, that's, I start these NFL weeks. It'll be like Tuesday and it'll be like, there's not a whole lot that I really like this week in the NFL. Then I dig more and more into it. Then it's like, okay, there's 9 bets I like. I got to narrow it down to 5 for my best bets for the show here on Friday. But, you know, that's what happens when you dig into all these numbers, you find these big time spots. So, and never mind if I start digging in the props on a Sunday morning, then it's 13 more plays to drop out. So, okay, so we have 6 total bets between the two of us. Good-looking slate in the NBA here tonight. You have 4, I have 2. Why don't you get us started with Trae Young? What do you like for him?
Trae Young, over 10.5 assists. Really, there is, like I put on the graphic here, there's only so many times in a season where you get to bet over on a guy who is as good at dropping dimes as Trae Young is. I mean, this is like going in and seeing like an edge to the over on like Patrick Mahomes passing yards or like things like that. It doesn't happen often. So when you see it, you're going to take it. For Trae Young, he's playing the Pistons. It's actually just very similar to what we did with LaMelo Ball on Wednesday. You know, you're playing the Pistons. They don't really have that point of attack defender. Jaden Ivey's, you know, good offensive player. Kate Cunningham's good offensive player. Tim Hardaway Jr. is a shooter. They're really missing Asar Thompson. That would be the guy once he comes in. That's where that defense comes into play for them. But without him, it's a very offensive backcourt. Trae Young can just go wherever he wants on this court. They're not going to be able to stop him. It is a high number. It's just not high enough. And the plus money does really make the difference here. The Hawks starting lineup, I mean, you just look at Dyson Daniels, Zachary Risache. These guys are very dependent on Trae Young creating offense. They're not really guys who step out and do it on their own. Risache put up 33 points last game as a spot-up shooter. So he really helps too. If he's a knockdown shooter, that really helps Trae Young. If you give me an edge on a Trae Young assist prop, I'm going to take it.
Okay, so I alluded to this on yesterday's show. The Celtics coming off a very disheartening loss there to the Warriors on Wednesday night and discussed how I'd probably be looking to back them in their next game. I'm going to do that with a bet that I've made a couple times already this season. Going to go back to the well on the Celtics team total. I think this one's a few points short. I'm going to go over 117.5. This has been in the 120s in a couple of road games there last week, actually. So I think we're getting a decent bargain here. I think this is a great bounce back spot for the Celtics, who are coming off a season low, 112 points against the Warriors, who've been great on the defensive end to start the season. They were really done in by a 16-point second quarter in that game. They take on a Nets team that they make a habit of beating the shit out of. They gone over this number in all four games against the Nets last season. Last time these teams played, it was in Boston. They scored 136 points in that one. And the Celtics can score from anywhere on the floor. They shoot more three-pointers than any team. They can get it done in the paint if they want to as well. And I think there's going to be an opportunity for a lot of freebies at the line because the Nets play some dirty defense. They're ranked 29th in the NBA in opponent free throw attempt rate. So I think the Celtics motivated to get back on track here, and they go over 117.5. Tyrese Haliburton. What do we like for him, John?
Yeah, it's honestly a similar vibe to Trae Young. It's like, once again, you log in, you see a guy who's really good at dropping dimes, and you just don't get these opportunities very often to even bet on them. You know, how often I come on here? Yesterday, it was Jaden McDaniels over 1.5. You kind of always get these random players. So when you see a Haliburton, you see a Trae Young, I'm going after it. Again, it's a similar. So like in that Hornets-Pistons game on Wednesday, I went after LaMelo Ball because of the Pistons' point of attack defense. And I went after Jaden Ivey because the Hornets are missing, you know, their center depth. They don't have Mark Williams, who's a good defender. They don't have Nick Richards. They don't have any rim protection at all. And Tyrese Haliburton, that's his matchup tonight. He's playing the Hornets. And the thing with Haliburton, when you go look at his box scores, I mean, he can get dimes out of nowhere, hitting up three-pointers and stuff. When he goes way over or he gets over a total, a lot of that is to Miles Turner. And it's Miles Turner finishing dunks at the rim. It's him dominating inside. This is where I think this Hornets matchup, without them having rim protection and not having a center, Miles Turner pick and roll, throw the lob, or him just getting downhill as dunks, I think that's what really pushes Haliburton over. And that's why I did really like this number, say, on Haliburton.
Okay, next up for me, you're not going to see me make a lot of spread bets on the Lakers this season, but I will be making one tonight. I'm going to take them to cover the 7-point spread with the undermanned 76ers in town. I think the game situation really favors the Lakers here. I think it's a perfect opportunity for them to get back on track. So the Lakers, usually you look to fade them if they're a favorite by more than a few points, but they're in a situation right now where they're not in a situation where they can be playing down to the competition after a horrible road trip. So they started the season at home, 3 straight games. They went 3-0 straight up and against the spread against 3 good teams, the T-Wolves, Suns, and Kings. Then they went on the road and went 1-4. So I think that this is an opponent that they should be able to really take advantage of. The Sixers are really short on talent coming into this game. Tyrese Maxey's now out with a hamstring injury. He joins Joel Embiid, who, of course, hasn't played yet this season. Paul George, I don't even think he's back to 100% yet. He will be playing, but Philly's had some really bad losses this season. They have 4 double-digit losses already in 7 games. So this should be an opportunity. J.J. Redick all fired up there as the head coach. You got to get the guys up. You haven't been at home in a while. They started strong at home. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers win by 20. I'm playing a little bit safer, though, taking the cover of the 7-point number. Donovan Mitchell, good-looking game here. Cavs playing host to the Warriors. What are we thinking for this one?
Can we pause the picks for a second? Did you see J.J. Redick reacting to D'Angelo Russell's block shot, slam in the chair? What do you think about that?
It's a bad look. Yeah. I like the passion, but it comes off as a temper tantrum. That's what my 5-year-old son would do if his chicken nuggets were too cold or something like that, right? So I like the passion. I like the fire. Part of that energy is why I want to back them tonight, because I think they have to have like a statement performance here, right? But I don't mind him calling out the player and trying to make an example of him, especially this early in the season. But the temper tantrum, that's a mistake by a rookie head coach. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's an interesting swing, because Darvin Ham kind of was under fire last year for not doing enough, kind of sitting on his hands with that idea. And now you have the complete flip, right? Like, J.J. Redick's very animated. He was very animated with that he wasn't happy with D'Angelo Russell. Post-game presser, he said he only played 20 minutes because he was lacking a level of compete. You don't really hear that too often from a head coach 8 minutes in. So, So I thought it was interesting, because it's a big swing on, and we kind of talked about this with Redick, where, you know, he feels like a guy you could have a bottle of wine with, sit down, talk, be friends with, but he also can lose it on you and stuff. And it's kind of interesting. He kind of has both. And that was the other side of it, right?
Yeah. So that whole scenario is why, like, the Lakers are obviously the much more talented team on the court here tonight with the Sixers. So let's see how they respond, right?
Well, I think he's going to have them fired up for sure tonight. And like you said, Paul George is not 100%. That team's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. But he only played 26 minutes last time out. Okay. Donovan Mitchell, Cavs rolling, Warriors rolling. What do you like for Mitchell?
So I'm Mitchell over 4.5 assists. I actually was going quickly. I was going through the board this morning and I was like looking at his projections, looking at the thing. And I actually initially skipped over this because I thought it was 5.5 because that is where he normally trades. Then I went back to, I was like, oh, wait a second, this is 4.5. And this is huge plus money on a 4.5. And I was like, this is a, like a really, this number really catches your eye. He's gone under last four games. So it dropped his total from 5.5 down to 4.5. That 5.5 is where he typically trades. And like plus 130, that's a big number. Like you're not talking about just going down one assist. That's a lot of juice too to move. The one thing that kind of caught my eye matchup wise. So the Warriors, when you're watching them play the Celtics, they are blitzing a ton, double teams, great perimeter defense. If they blitz him, he's going to have to find his shooters. And he's, you know, he has guys who are just catch and shoot guys. He also might just be able to hit Mobley or Jared Allen right in the middle of the floor and they get downhill going to the rim. So while the Warriors do play really good defense, their coverages also might just lead to more potential assists for Donovan Mitchell. And when you are playing a really good team, you kind of just do lean on your superstars, right? Like I need him to create because my other role players, they might not be able to against the Warriors. I like the blitzing angle. I think they're going to blitz him. I think he'll get the ball out and more potential assists from 4.5 plus money. This was my favorite one on the board.
Chet Holmgren, the final pick.
Yes.
The show today of the week. Give us a winner, Johnny.
Producer Dell's copycat. So BYB exclusive points prop. Jeremy Grant hit this yesterday for us. Today I'm going Chet Holmgren over 16.5 points. He's playing the Houston Rockets. You know, the Rockets have really good wing defenders who could, you know, Dylan Brooks will probably be on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You get that Canada matchup. So he probably will guard him pretty tough. They have good wing defenders. That Alperen Şengün, Chet Holmgren, that's a tough matchup for him. So you could just kind of see the usage kind of push towards Chet Holmgren just a little bit. The one thing that really caught my eye with this is the Oklahoma City Thunder have been to so many blowouts that Chet Holmgren isn't playing big minutes. And like every box score that happens, this number keeps coming down. So when you look at the 16.5 points, you only needed about 30 minutes in a projection to have a pretty nice edge on this. That's not a lot of minutes. It's really he's only playing sub 30 in a lot of these games because they're complete blowouts. I mean, they're playing the Rockets. Rockets are a pretty good team. It's hard to predict blowouts, but when you're talking about like, now I only need 30 minutes to establish a big edge, that really catches your eye. So that's why I want Chet Holmgren over points.
Okay, John, something fun. I'll put you on the spot here. I was talking best football movies with the guys before you came on. You're a resident basketball expert. What's your favorite basketball movie of all time?
When I was a kid, you got to go Space Jam. That was like, I was like literally like a kid when that came out.
Probably sucked.
The more like actual basketball, I'd say Coach Carter. I really liked when I was growing up. That was a good one.
Yeah. Above the Rim. I love that movie. I've seen that at least 10 times. I like He Got Game.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good movie. White Man Can't Jump is a good one. Blue Chips is a good one. You guys should go watch, especially the younger guys watching the show. If you've ever seen that one, that is a really cool movie. Yeah, just a lot of good basketball movies. I'll a comment here. Brian Nichols in the chat said, been a bad 25 years for movies. I actually saw an explanation on that. It was Matt Damon, the famous actor from Good Will Hunting, of course. And he said a reason why a lot of movies don't get made anymore is because what used to happen is the movie would come into theaters and they would get their release and they get just a shit ton of money for that. And then a couple months later, the DVD would come out. And once again, they would get a shit ton of money for that. The DVD doesn't exist anymore. So it's kind of like they would used to get two releases and just get a ton of money that would come in. That is not the case anymore. You don't see many good dramas. Remember, there was an era of, you know, in the early 2000s where it's just banger after banger after banger comedies with, you know, Will Ferrell and Seth Rogen and, you know, a bunch of these other guys, Steve Carell, these guys were coming out with, you don't see these movies anymore. It's kind of disappointing. I probably only go out to one movie a year now.
Yeah. I don't go to off. I'm not gonna lie. I actually, this household, we go to the movie theater, get popcorn and leave. I don't know if anyone else does that because the popcorn is still elite. It's way too expensive, but it still happens here. We do actually, we literally go get popcorn from the movie theater, bring it to our house and then watch like Netflix or something, which is obviously that swing of times like you're talking about. That's why it does hurt the movie industry. Remember like way back when you have to wait like a year to get the movie on like DVD or like VHS. It was a long time.
Yeah, interesting fact about me, I worked at Blockbuster Video in their closing years before they went out of business, of course. And what really did them in was like the big issue is that people would come in and they would get the late fees because they weren't bringing back the movies in time. So you get in all these arguments with the customers. And I remember I used to say to the customers, like an asshole teenager, sir, I don't make the rules. I'm just here to enforce them. But they got rid of the late fees and people are just taking wild advantage of that, especially on like video games. Could you imagine?
Yeah. I remember the fees not even being high enough. You work there, so you know. I remember some of my friends like even just keeping the game because they're like, it was cheaper to pay. Like they literally just keep it, beat the game for like a month, pay the late fees, whatever, say it's $20 instead of buying the game for like $100.
But, well, it was a major issue because some people, like, it would affect their credit ratings and stuff like that. Like, they was getting sent to, like, collection agencies. Like, yeah, you haven't returned your copy of Forrest Gump that was due back a month ago. You owe us $200. Just madness. But, yeah, my old days.
I'll answer this. Someone did say, we'll get back off the rails here. Someone said Donovan Mitchell's 3.5 now, heavy juice. You can go play the alt 5+. You can find – someone actually found – a good 5+ this morning. I mean, they found a better one than I bet. So you can go play the alt. Go look for a 5+ alt. That's what would be your high CV.
Indeed. Navigate around on that. Yeah. Okay. So that does it for the show here, John. Big weekend coming up. Speaking of sports movies, I'm going to show my 7-year-old Sandlot tonight. He's never seen it. He's a big baseball fan. So we will look forward to watching that. So it should be a fun weekend. Hopefully we'll get back to our winning ways here in the NBA, in the NFL. Hopefully Brad hits these college games. We're going to be right back with you guys on Monday. Going to be a great big show. Then a pretty good, a good looking Monday night football game from a betting perspective. Dolphins versus Rams. Can't wait for that one. So yeah, let's wrap up the show. Thank you to all of my guests for joining today. Thank you to producer Mick for producing. Thank you to BetMGM for sponsoring the show. And thank you to all the great viewers for tuning in today. Best of luck with all your bets tonight and over the weekend. We will catch you guys again on Monday. Woo!